guys, what's going on? It's Sunday. I don't know how many people are in there. Can't really see it at the moment.
Yeah, there's about 10.
Okay, so we're talking to somebody.
Yeah.
For a second, I don't know, I had this weird thing when I was like talking to nobody.
I think 7 to 10 around that time. They're coming in.
All right,
today's about Sicario. All right, you can show it, Jenny, right there. It's a really nice steel book. Louis sent that to me, Louis Hernandez.
It's got
a clear plastic protective case that goes over the steel book. It's just a really
That's
nice...
That's a great cover, actually.
Yeah, it's a really nice steel book. And this is a great movie. Jenny had never seen it. This is my second time seeing it.
Yeah.
Jenny liked it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
But it's... It's the same director that did the new Blade Runner movie and the Dune movies. It's got a fucking awesome score.
He also made Enemy, which I really liked.
I remember Jake Gyllenhaal.
I don't remember if you watched that with me or not.
Okay,
but I really like that movie.
This movie here, man, what's good about it is that it's accurate. All right, it's accurate for special operations and kind of joint or combined department. Special operations, law enforcement type shit happening on the border against those Mexican cartels. And Central American cartels are involved in it too, outside of Mexico. Some of them in South America, I think Colombia is mentioned. Some guys that were involved in that are in this movie. Delta Force agents are in it. One of the characters, guy with glasses, kind of birth control glasses, they're like these that I have. He's in them. I don't remember what that character's name is.
Yeah, he's only in a few scenes.
Yeah, but a Delta Force guy named Larry Vickers, who has his own channels. You just look up Larry Vickers. I remember he reviewed this movie, and he said that guy is based on somebody he knows. That's a real Delta agent. People use the word operative a lot. I'm fucking so sick of that. They'll just say anybody's an operator or an operative. That's generic bullshit. You ask me, guys from SFOD or the unit, they're more like agents in this role. So better to call those guys agents instead of operators and fucking special operatives. It's just so fucking corny. And then kind of what the movie gets into is that if you start going into weird kind of government service, DOD, which is Department of Defense, or any kind of like the contracting world that supports law enforcement, military, which I was involved in that in weird ways. A lot of the stuff that you do, you don't know what it is that you're doing. You don't ask any damn questions. You just do what you're told. They're not telling you for a reason. They're just saying, go here, we're going to do this, and then you're coming back. And it's usually just support and help in the case that I was in. Classroom type stuff, helping out training people. Packing up crates and shipping them out, getting things ready to ship out to airfields, and they don't give you any details, all right, for a lot of different reasons. The dudes that are telling you to do this, they don't know a lot of times, and a lot of times that's protection, you know. They don't tell you because you can't tell anybody anything, so if you ever got captured or anything like that, they could torture you all day long. You couldn't answer any questions. And that kind of protects other people. That's an extreme situation. But mostly it has to do with legal stuff. You know, that's why they don't tell you. Because what you're doing is technically not legal, maybe.
Well, that's kind of what this movie gets
into. Yeah, and that's what this movie's all about.
Sure.
You're skirting laws and skirting rules, and you're doing that on purpose, and you're being told to, and everybody knows, and that's part of the game. And it's getting other countries involved in shit that you're doing so they can do certain things you can't. And it all has to do with skirting rules and laws. But the thing is that you're complying with the law. That's all it is, complying with laws and regulations. So how do you get the job done while still complying? And this is fucking, that's what this movie's about. They're trying to fuck up cartels and send assassins at them and shit, but they can't do that, so they have to use other people to do that. And it's a great movie. Great movie.
Yeah, everything is just like loopholes,
you
know what I mean? And that's the thing about Emily Blunt's character in this, who she's mostly just brought on as... Well, they don't tell her at first. They don't really tell her much of anything for that very reason. But, you know, it turns out, if you haven't seen this movie, that pretty much the only reason they brought her along was...
They had to.
To kind of cover their ass, because they're like, well, they're doing like some CIA shit, and it's like, we can't really do this stuff in another country, like, or we can't do stuff within the U.S., like, without FBI thing. So they had to get, like, her sign off on shit.
They, like, they needed witnesses from another department. That's all it was. But that department was not in charge. It had no say-so. So they were kind of dead weight. That's all they were. They were just there to be on paperwork.
Yeah.
They didn't need them at all. And when you see the movie, they don't need her and her partner. They're a detriment. And then at the end of the movie, man, fucking, they make her sign a piece of paper. If not, she's going to commit suicide. That's what they said. And an American didn't tell her to do that. Another dude from another country, Colombia, told her to do that. And he was... That way everything was deniable. It, you know what I mean? It was a foreigner that was telling her to do that.
Yeah, I mean, everything, they had worked everything out. Right. Like, you know what I mean? And she was just kind of like, I mean, she's almost like a patsy, really. I mean, like, she didn't know that at the beginning. Like, they kind of get her in on it because, you know, she's FBI. She's actually not really to do with the drug cartel directly. She's like on the kidnapping unit, right? But then, like, that horrifying, you know, thing at the beginning, which is in the U.S., it's in Arizona, and they find, like, all those bodies in the wall of that guy that's, like, on the cartel and everything. And so she kind of gets pissed off about that, and then there's a bomb, and it blows up, like, some of her team and shit like that. So that's how, like, these other kind of guys get in. They're like, well, we want to get back at the guys who did that, or who are, like, the bosses of the guys who did that. So that's kind of how they talk her into it, because she kind of wants to see them get caught too. Yeah. Only problem is that she's kind of coming at it with the understanding that they're gonna do it like in, like, by the book and in the way you're supposed to, and they absolutely have no intention of doing
it. And that was from the very beginning when the higher ups are talking about who they're gonna send to add, who are they gonna ask to volunteer for this, and fucking anybody that had a legal background, anybody who had studied law in university, nope, no lawyers. They won't want.
Yeah, because her partner, he's played by Daniel Kaluuya from, probably, I knew him from Get Out. He was in Black Panther and stuff too. Yeah. But yeah, because he had gone to law school, they were like, nope. They were like, no. Right. They could, like, kind of use him, like, to kind of drive people around, but that was about it. They couldn't tell him any other stuff.
And trying to think what else. They show extensive use of cops, SF guys, foreigners, criminals, anything they can. Even bad cops, they'll use anything because it's a special operation. And a lot of times a special operation is really, really a special operation. A lot of times means a covert operation. And a lot of times it's covert because it's black. And a lot of times it's black because it's illegal. All right? They're not supposed to be doing it. And if you get caught, you're going to be denied. They're going to say, we don't know that dude. You know?
Yeah.
There's this, so you're on your own. You're on that team. But, I mean, they pick a fight in public to shoot up a bunch of guys to make a cartel mad in public.
Like right on the border, like in a traffic jam.
In a traffic jam. And she was like, you know, she was like, well, this was wrong. And they were like, fuck it.
Well, like all the civilians and stuff. Yeah. She's like, normally, if you were doing shit by the book, obviously you wouldn't do that because there's too many civilians.
Yeah. But they wanted to shake up the tree and find out who was moving and who was where. And they got a dude, Del Toro plays this guy. You don't really know who he is. She keeps asking him too many fucking questions. All right. And he's not answering, really. She doesn't get a hint. That's the thing about this character, is that she does not take a hint very well. But I guess they're doing it maybe she's pathologically has to know things and can't work in the dark, because they make fun of her for not being able to work in the dark. Well, it wasn't her. It was the other guy, her partner. He says, just don't keep us in the dark. And he says, oh, you're scared of the dark.
Yeah.
And because they're all working in the dark, nobody knows everything about every little aspect. They're just...
Well, like I said, you know, those two characters, they just brought them on, like you said, for kind of, like, legal reasons. Yeah. They don't really need them, and they just kind of, like, you know, sideline them at every opportunity. They just kind of have to have them there for paperwork purposes. So they're just, you know, they're on a need to know basis and they mostly don't need to know anything.
Yeah.
But they're kind of like, hey, we thought this was like on the team and we're doing the operation and like we'd kind of like to know what we're doing and what we're getting in for. But you they have tell to, them anything.
When you start off in a combat arms unit, when you're young, and a lot of these, that's where a lot of these guys come from, infantry, airborne, ranger, SF. Working in the dark or being lied to is just a standard part of the job. You understand that that your chain of command is lying to you, all right? They have to, because okay, here's how I'm going to give you a good example of how shit was done by dudes that I fucking served with. Operation Just Cause, that was the invasion of Panama. Those dudes kept getting the guys that were tasked to do the Panama invasion. For 3 or 4 weeks, kept getting sent out on these field problems that involved specific road intersections with a building here and this and that. And over again, they just did this same dumb fucking mission. And then one day they got alerted and got sent down to the airfield. And when they got to the airfield and once they were flying, they handed them that same map that they normally trained them on for that road intersection and this and that. And then all of a sudden, things were relabeled. Like, this building is a bank. And this is over here. And this is there. And then right before landing, they fucking handed out another map to all the fucking squad leaders and everything, showing the names of the roads. And they realized that they had been training all that time to take out specific targets inside of Panama. They were lied to the whole time about what it was that they were doing. And they didn't know until hours before touching down, because there was no telephones. There was no way they could call mom. I'm going to Panama next week. You know what I mean? Because that's what they would do. We're going to go invade this thing. It would have leaked, which would have jeopardized everything. Well, that's what these guys are doing, but it's even fucking tighter. Because the shit they're doing is all fucking sideways and wonky and involving a bunch of different countries. None of those guys knows everything. They're just going, hey, look, do this. Okay, there's no questions. See, you have to work in the dark. And that's what they were talking about. She just kept asking questions. She kept asking this one dude, basically trying to figure out what he was. And you never really do kind of figure out what he was. He was some kind of lawyer. But he had training, like a Delta level training. And he was in that unit, so I guess they trained him. But he was Colombian. So therefore, he was not an American citizen. He was some kind of an advisor, but they used him as an assassin. That way, if he ever got caught, they could say, we don't know that dude. He's not with us. He's Colombian. You know, that's...
Yeah, I mean, she asks him at one point when they're on the plane, because they first tell her, oh, we're going to El Paso, or he says El Paso area. Right. And then they end up going to Juarez. And so basically she asks him on the plane, she's like, you know, where are you from or what do you do or whatever? And all he says is, I go where I'm sent.
Yeah.
That's all he says.
Yep.
Can we talk about, like, Benicio del Toro? I've always really liked him as an actor, and he's great in this. He actually got nominated for a BAFTA for this movie. I don't think he won, but he got nominated for this. And I think that he got picked out a lot by like critics, like saying how good his performance was. But yeah, he's great in this. The guy that wrote this, I didn't even realize, Taylor Sheridan, was the same guy that wrote, remember Hell or High Water and Wind River? We did both of those, like this, because I guess this is like the third movie in the the modern Western drug war type of thing. And so it's the same screenwriter as those. And like I said, somebody, they've been talking about the cinematography. Yeah, Roger Deakins did this, who actually did Blade Runner 2049. He did Skyfall. He did Fargo. He works with the Coen brothers a lot. But yeah, I mean, this is a beautiful looking movie. And the score... really is good. Amazing. Now, the guy that did it, Johan Johansson, was an Icelandic guy. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. And I was sitting there going, I think he had done another one of Denis Villeneuve's movies before. Maybe it was Prisoners. I can't really remember. But I knew that music sounded familiar. He did the music for Mandy.
Okay, yeah.
That's the same guy.
Yeah.
That's what I was like. I knew that name looked familiar.
Yeah, it's got a great score.
Yeah, I think the score might have been nominated for an Oscar, actually.
Now, I've seen the sequel to this, and it's actually even better than this one. It's one of the few times where the sequel...
they're making a third one, too.
Yeah, the sequel's even better. So, as far as I know, we'll show that to Jenny, and we'll run that one, too. But,
Yeah, they're making a third one called Sicario Capos.
Yeah.
Okay. In development.
Okay.
As far as I know. But yeah. Yeah.
It's good. It just kind of shows the kind of the gray nature of a lot of that stuff. I mean, you know, they were gonna kill her if she fucking ratted them out about what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and they
well, clearly she wasn't. She didn't really
she wasn't
have
really cut out.
Well, like I said, she worked for the FBI and she didn't have anything to do with the drug cartels. Really, I mean, they just kind of like brought her on because she had kind of something to do with one case, like in particular. But she had never worked like across the border. She didn't do any of that kind of stuff.
Basically, what they're doing is they're using a bunch of damn law enforcement, different kind of law enforcement agencies, with DOD agencies, and Special Forces, which would be Delta, or SFOD, depending on what you want to call them. Certain guys from Delta. And they're like four or five at a time, if they needed guys that were really good shooters. Well, this is a law enforcement mission, but they're conducting basically raids, with military-style raids. Something like kind of out of James Bond, partially. So, and it's happening coming from like at the presidential level. Okay, it's like the president asking for this, not bureaucrats. So that kind of changes the game. You know what I mean? It was definitely higher up. They were saying that this wasn't appointed officials behind all this. These are elected officials that are behind these operations. So you have to do them, basically. And they just have to recruit the right kind of people that they can trust. Now, a long time ago, when Special Forces got involved with all the weird cocaine action and the Iran-Contra scandal, a lot of stuff in the intelligence community, like CIA, which there were some CIA people involved in this too, or possibly CIA. The one dude did eventually say that it was the Central Intelligence that was that's who he worked for, but. Remember that this is even back in the 80s, people were absolutely kind of like horrified that intelligence agencies hired criminals. And they were like, well, we have, in this business, we have to work with bad people sometimes. You know, and the American public couldn't really accept it. So that shit started to go deeper and deeper underground, you know, in the 80s. Because the American civilians don't really kind of have the maturity to understand the realism of doing these kind of operations. They want them done, that's the way they're voting, but they don't understand the nuts and bolts of actually making something like that happen. And this movie shows the nuts and bolts of how these kind of things happen, how they do them. It's not as glamorous as you think.
Well, and it's not very glamorous at all.
No, very fucking down-to-earth and gritty and... a lot of psychology behind it and a lot of loyalty. Those guys from those units are fucking loyal to each other and the unit. They're not really loyal to concepts like fucking law and, you know what I mean, and the legal system or anything. And if the mission was compromised, you would commit suicide. That was what they say in the end. You're just committing suicide. And they literally mean that. They're going to pop you and fucking make it look like you committed suicide. And they run those agencies, so there's not going to be any deep investigation into the suicide. They can just do the paperwork to get that shit right through the system. You know?
I was reading a review of this that I thought said a very interesting thing. They said this movie is actually like analogous to, they said, you know how Apocalypse Now was like about the Vietnam War? This is like the Apocalypse Now
of the drug
of
war.
The drug war. Yeah. So I saw like a bunch of ones, and it is kind of like that because it's kind of like a journey into the heart of darkness type of thing where, Denis Villeneuve, I think he even said that, you know, the illegal, you know, drugs being illegal and stuff like that has caused this war that we've now got to a position where we have to become the very monsters we're fighting in order to, you know, get any play on it. And I think like that's kind of the thing about her character is that she just keeps getting like sidelined. She's just so defeated by the end because there's like nothing she can do. She's just one person and there's like no, you know, the way that it's set up now, it's just like there's no way that anybody that's like on the right side of anything is just going to be able to like fix it. You know what I mean? Because it's so fucked up.
And it's totally correct. It's totally stupid.
It is, yeah.
The idea of the drug war was to make big money. and make huge government agencies. You can make a shit ton of money. And then people who can get in there and play both sides. That's going on too. Corruption on both sides. And
which is also shown in this movie, because you also, I mean, like, yeah. John Bernthal's character,
yep.
who's a cop in Phoenix, right? Yeah, he's cop.
Playing both sides.
And he's also playing both sides with that kind of shit. Like, he's great in this, too. He's only, like, in one or two scenes, but he's great in it.
Yeah, so now cops and soldiers and shit like that, they can all make money off of fighting this drug war, and then it can go up and up into the higher strata. And then, at the political level, you know what I mean, you can have the CIA actually, like, they did in the 80s with the Iran-Contra scandal, buy cocaine and sell that, and then from the proceeds buy Stinger missiles to help the fucking Afghans fight the Soviets. There's all kinds of weird shit that they do, and they still do it. They have to be. So, yeah. Dumb idea. What would be a lot safer, smarter, wouldn't make as much money, but it would be smarter to legalize all that shit and control it the same way you do alcohol, and all the money would just evaporate from that. The prices would go way down. The drug cartels would vanish because there's no real profit in it. The thing is, law enforcement would miss out on a lot of money because their budgets would shrink, and that's why they don't want to do it. And then their purpose for being, you know, there's a whole system there that is old now. That's kind of ossified. Its whole purpose is to fucking get federal funding to fight drugs. And if that fucking drug war vanishes, that whole fucking faction of the government vanishes. And what are they going to do? They got houses to buy and fucking swimming pools to pay for and shit, you know. It's just that same old fucking scam. Over powder and weed.
Yeah.
And people that want to get high. And then they make it real, it ends up being real valuable, and they kill each other over it. And a lot of them dying in fucking Mexico and Central and South America. They're killing each other over there, down there over it. And then elected leaders in Central America hire the cartels to help them get into office, and just all kinds of shit happens. It's far dirtier than you think. Those cartels, and some of them, are basically arms of the fucking governments down there. So that's like their version of special forces. Some of those narco armies are fucking, you looked at it, you can look, see videos on them, man. They got fucking armored personnel carriers and jeeps and uniforms and top-notch weapons. They got a shit ton of money. And you're talking about, like, there's thousands of them. It's not a little band of them. It's thousands of them in uniform. And they're all cops and soldiers and shit. They're not just scumbags. They actually come out of the army and they want a good job. They go work for those guys.
Zach said, I preferred this to the sequel because the sequel felt like a kind of generic action movie to me compared to this one, which is more an eerie political thriller.
I remember liking the sequel more, but we'll see.
Yeah, I haven't seen the sequel yet, so I can't speak to it. I thought this was fantastic. I thought this was, like, really, really good. Well, and like I said, I'm not the only person because it got nominated for a fuck ton of Oscars, and most of the critics that year said it was, like, one of the best movies of the year and shit like that. Zach said, one of my favorite parts is the scene of Benicio and Emily arguing from far away. Oh, yeah, I remember what you talked about. Roger Deakins wanted to shoot close-ups of their faces, but Denise he's like, no, the single take long shot as it was. Yeah, that was actually, like, a really good... I mean, the cinematography in this is so, so gorgeous. I really, really liked all of the... Especially all the night shots where they did kind of, like, the night vision and then, like, you know, just the sunset, like, over the desert and stuff like that. Like, those fucking great vistas of the desert and everything like that. So, okay, discuss. The mayor of Juarez, when this movie came out, like, or shortly before this movie came out, he told people in Mexico to not go see the movie because it demonized or presented like a false and negative thing of the movie. He's saying, yeah, the movie, the city used to be like that, like back in, you know, 2010, something like that, but it's not really like that anymore. I don't really know because I've never been there, but I don't really know. Like, because, I mean, the way they show it in the movie, yeah, it's pretty fucked up. But with the, especially that shot with, like, all the bodies hanging from the bridge, like, with the heads cut off and everything like that.
So. They also told him, don't watch Rambo Last Blood. Because remember Rambo was fighting the cartels?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot who he was fighting. All I just remember forgot who he was fighting. All I remembered was just, like, ooh, gore. You know what I mean?
Cut that dude's head off.
That's right.
Yeah, he's fighting cartels.
That's right. No, I'm thinking of the other one. I'm getting them all confused.
Yeah.
Which one? Yeah. That was the one we saw in the theater, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's called Last Blood.
See, I don't even remember what it's called.
I think it's what it's called.
Second to Last Blood. Penultimate Blood. That's what they should have called it. Danny Rowling said Rambo Last Blood was a slasher flick. Okay, see, maybe it is the one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Well, what was the one that was just in the theater then?
Rambo Last Blood.
Oh, okay.
Don't you remember?
I get them all confused.
He had that adopted daughter who was...
No, I remember the movie. I just don't remember if it was called that. You know what I mean?
It was called Last Blood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, and the one before that was The Fight Continues. And that's where he was in Myanmar. It's the one where he was shooting those dudes up with the machine.
That was the one I was thinking of. When I said, like, about the gore and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the one.
But there was a lot of gore in Last Blood, too. He cut that dude's head off in the hotel.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
With a knife.
But the one I was thinking of was the one before that.
Yeah. And then Rambo's farm on the border down there was all undermined with fucking tunnels and shit. Remember?
Yeah.
And he suckered him down in there and killed him in the tunnels. He lived, but he was shot up.
Yeah. I didn't remember what happened at the end.
It ends with him just on a porch all shot up.
I
don't know if he dies or lives. He may have died, but it was...
See, I don't even remember.
It was left kind of vague.
I liked that movie, but I don't remember what happened at the end.
Yeah.
Zach says, funny enough, the same year as this, Spectre came out, and they had to make Mexico look like a fantasy with that Day of the Dead parade to secure funding to shoot there. So I guess it evened out. But yeah, I don't know if Juarez is still, like, as terrifying as it looks in this movie, but yeah, I'll be remembering that those bodies hanging from the fucking bridge for, like, a really long time.
They did that, but I don't think they did that in Juarez. There was one little town that got, this was years back, I guess it'd be about 20 years now, 15 years. Wiped out a whole town and they hung them from the bottom of a bridge, a couple hundred of them. About 100, I think.
That's probably where they got the idea for this shot.
Yeah, it was a small town, but I think they killed everybody.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Crossed the wrong people.
I don't know. I really, really like this. This is actually one of, and I was like reading some other comments about, I read like a review and then there's a bunch of comments like when it first came out, like in the theater. And a lot of people were talking about when they went to see it in the movie theater, like it was one of the tensest movies that they'd ever watched, which it actually really, really is. I think it's I don't know, like the way that it's shot is just really kind of, I was just kind of like leaning forward like that, like the whole time, like watching it, because you never know, like some really bad fucked up shit was going to happen. He's talking about, Zach also says, by the way, Roger Deakins and his wife, he's a cinematographer on this, started doing their podcast again, and they interviewed the photographer the film's visual style was based off of. It's called Team Deakins, by the way. It's a fascinating show. Yeah, I mean, I think this got an Oscar nomination for Best Cinematography, too, because, I mean, Roger Deakins, I thought he had done more of the James Bond movies. I know he did Skyfall, but I thought he'd done a few other ones, too. But I know he works a lot with the Coen brothers, because for sure he did Fargo, I remember that. But yeah, he's probably, like, the best cinematographer, like, working today, and you can really see it in this. It looks gorgeous.
It's a strong movie.
Yeah, and you can totally tell that it's the same director as Dune and Blade Runner 2049 and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, he has, Denis Villeneuve has such, like a distinctive style. I can't really put my finger on what it is.
I would say it's kind of like an Apocalypse Now, a law enforcement version of Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, I've seen several reviews, like, make that comparison. Like, it is very, very much like that kind of story.
Yeah.
Because... Yeah, like I said, you're having somebody like Emily Blunt's character who's supposed to be like the representation of like the civilized world and law and order and stuff like that, and then just getting more and more defeated by how fucking morally gray everything gets like as you're going like through there.
At the end,
a descent into madness and evil.
Yeah, and that Colombian assassin tells her at the end, he goes, move to a small town. You know, he says, don't come here where the wolves have taken over, or something like that. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, something like that.
He says, you can't run with wolves. He goes, you need to move to a small town where there's law and order like it used to be. Because the rest of the world's not like that now. It's wolves. It's run by wolves.
For sure, what they're doing isn't run by that anymore.
I think all of it is not like that anymore.
Danny Rowling said, Tom, do you think Emily Blunt's character should have lived or died, and why?
Well, in reality, she should have died. But they let her live because I think she's kind of the stand-in for the audience and kind of like the narrator in a certain way of the story. But No, I think if I was Benicio Del Toro, if I was that assassin character, would have killed her. Because I don't think you could trust her. You couldn't let her go.
I kind of feel like in real life, probably they would have killed her. Especially because...
She just threatened to tell. That's enough.
Right. I kind of feel like they probably would have.
Yeah.
But...
They would have killed her and they made it look like suicide.
Which is what they were going to do. But I guess they figured maybe she was, like, so fucked up by the experience that she... I don't know. Maybe she wasn't. They weren't going to believe her. So maybe they were like. Maybe they already had some kind of plan in place for like if she starts blabbing, we already have like a bunch of other fucking shit we can like.
I don't think they would have fucking wanted the complication. They'd be afraid that she would go to the news or something or say something. Although they kind of control the news, they can keep that out of the out of. They can keep that out of corporate news. But what they because that's why it's not in there. You'll never see it in there. They can keep it out. They're afraid to say that. They're afraid to print that kind of shit. But she might show up on a podcast or something. So, although I'm not sure podcasts existed in the time. Yeah, they probably existed in the time the movie was taking place. What year was it supposed to be taking place? 2010 or something?
Well, the movie came out in 2015, so I'm assuming it was supposed to be...
Around that time.
Around that time, 2014, yeah. 2015.
So she could have done some stuff online. That they would have killed her.
I kind of... Yeah. And I mean, like I said, that's not a ding on the movie. I'm just saying, like, in real life, they probably would have killed her. That's what I was thinking. Especially, I mean, because, I mean, she probably should have kept her mouth shut, but, you know.
Yeah, dumb.
But like I said, that was kind of the whole point, is that she was still operating under the assumption that there were, like, laws and things that would, you know, things.
Protect her.
Things that they had to, like, you know, adhere to, but they absolutely did not.
Not so much in that world, you know. No. That one guy with the glasses that Larry Vickers said he was based on a real guy. Jenny didn't see any mention of him, but
if you guys. I mean, at least not on the Wikipedia page or in any other.
You can go look at. I think it's called Vickers Tactical. He and Larry talks about Sicario. He goes through some of the gunfights and what was correct. He said it was a good movie. He did point that one guy out with glasses. It's like one of the bit part characters. And he says that is based on a real guy, and I think they even used that guy's name, I think. But it's in a fictionalized setting. If memory serves. Yeah, but Vickers knew the guy, I think. He's kind of like a legendary kind of a Delta agent who's talks about some things. Evidently.
Yeah, he wasn't in... I mean, he was in the beginning a little bit because he was kind of telling everybody... Yeah. It almost seemed like he was kind of the higher-up guy that was telling everybody all the shit, like, at the beginning, but then, like, you didn't really see him much, like, toward the end of the movie. Like, it kind of went more in the direction of Josh Brolin's character.
She told him, I'm going to tell. And he goes... What did he say? He says, oh, that's a very bad idea.
That would be a big mistake.
Yeah, he said, that would be a big mistake. That'd be a very big mistake. And fucking... You know, I don't know why she couldn't read in between the lines. But I think that was just the nature of that character. They wanted her to appear just kind of innocent.
Yeah.
Innocent to what was really going on.
Zach says, Denis Villeneuve has really usurped Christopher Nolan as the awesome director everyone should be obsessed with for me. I like Nolan's older movies, but he's kind of got too far up his own ass in trying to compete with himself on his new stuff. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen all of Denis Villeneuve's films, but all the ones I've seen have been amazing. I haven't seen Prisoners from 2013, which, you know, if anybody's seen that and would recommend it, let me know. But I loved Enemy. I thought that you watched that with me.
What is that about?
Jake Gyllenhaal was in it, and it was like a guy, and he basically, like, met his doppelganger. Do you remember that?
No.
And then, like, at the end, he opened the door, and there was, like, the big, like, tarantula.
I don't remember that?
Maybe you didn't watch it with me. Mm-mm. I loved that movie. I thought it was like so fucking weird. I was really into it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar.
But maybe I was watching it in the room and you were doing something else. I don't really know. But yeah, I really, really liked it. But yeah, I mean, fucking Blade Runner 2049 was amazing. That was a masterpiece. Dune was amazing. And this one was amazing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know. He didn't actually do the sequel because I think they asked him, but he wasn't available. Like he was working on something else. Zach said Prisoners is so good. That's my favorite movie of his. Okay. Well, I'll definitely have to watch that then. Danny Rowling said the sequel's action scenes to this are far superior than this film. Just saying. Okay. Well, we'll watch the sequel too.
I remember liking the sequel
because you have the sequel.
Yeah, I have.
I thought you did. So, and I haven't seen it, but this was the first time that I'd seen this and I thought it was fucking great.
Yeah. It is more of an action flick.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, so, yeah, so maybe, I don't know. Like, I liked this one because, yeah, there was action in it, but this one, like he said, it was more like a tense kind of thriller type of situation, and I maybe liked that.
Another one that I have is I have all the, what is that? What's the one called? It's the one with all the old mercenaries. The
Expendables?
Yeah, I have all the Expendables, too. But I haven't done any reviews on them. And a lot of people didn't like Expendables 3. But I have my Blu-ray has the extended director's cut, or the director's cut in it, and the director's cut's far superior to the theatrical cut. The director's cut's really good. And it's because they could show all the stuff they had to cut out because old fucking Chuck Norris's ass. Because he didn't want to allow any cussing or anything like that.
Can you imagine, like, Chuck Norris coming Chuck in on a movie with, like, a whole crew and a bunch of other, like, an ensemble cast and everything? Oh, well, no one can swear. I'd be like, fuck you, Chuck. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Yeah.
Telling other people how to talk.
Yeah, but if you guys have seen part three and didn't like the theatrical cut, see the director's cuts. It's a whole different movie. It's a lot better.
Yeah, everybody's saying Prisoners is excellent. Okay, well, I'm going to have to watch that then. Because I got fascinated when I went back through his stuff. I was like, ooh, I really liked Enemy, and I really liked all his other stuff, but I don't think I've seen Prisoners. Not that I remember anyway.
Yeah, we reviewed Dogs of War.
We did, yeah, with Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
That was
a good flick.
Yeah, I liked it. It was a little weird, but I liked it.
Yeah, Christopher Walken can't play a soldier. Christopher Walken
can only play Christopher
Walken. Yeah, yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Christopher Walken's awesome.
He had a weird way of delivering that role. but it kind of worked.
Yeah.
Because he came off as weird, you know, very unnatural. Always,
like I said, he comes off as weird in every movie.
Yeah, weird.
I think
unnatural.
The Dead Zone is the most normal I've ever seen him. Like, he actually played a somewhat normal person in that, but that's really the only time. But that's why everybody loves Christopher Walken, because he's weird.
Yeah, weird and awkward.
Yeah.
Weird and awkward mercenary, soldier/mercenary, and who would just get mad on the drop of a hat and start yelling over nothing, really. You know, just because he thought that's the way the line should be read, I guess. Okay.
He's got some issues.
Yeah.
Danny Rowling said, what's tomorrow's A Haunting episode? I think we're going to do The Calling.
Yeah, we'll do The Calling.
Is that the one we're doing? Yeah. I think it might be... It's either season 3, episode 4, or season 4, episode 3. Maybe. I can't really remember. But it's one of those. It's in season 3 or season 4. Zach says, I also love the bit where Benicio is beating up the dude in the interrogation room and you just hear it happening and the camera zooms in on the floor drain. Yeah, that's really good. Like, he just comes in and, like, fucking pees on the guy.
Yeah.
And
then he goes, what you looking at me for? Remember the Delta guy was watching?
I thought you know habla inglés.
The Delta guy was just watching. What you looking at me for?
I mean, everything about this movie is good. And actually now that we're talking about it, because we just watched it last night, but now that we're talking about it, I kind of want to watch it again one of these, like, pretty soon.
We'll see the sequel.
We'll see the sequel, and then, like, maybe in a month or two, I'll go back and, like, watch the other one. But,
I got to rewatch The Expendables.
Okay.
I've seen the first Expendable about 3 times, and I've only seen the other ones, like, once.
Well,
I liked it.
You got to get on it.
It was kind of a cheesy, but I liked it. You know,
I mean, I thought the premise of it is inherently cheesy.
Yeah,
I thought that's what everybody liked about it.
Yeah, it's like a throwback '80s action.
Sure. Play. Danny Rowling said, "What's the haunting episode Tom was talking about with the black slave ghost again?"
That's what we're talking about.
I thought that was the one, or unless I just got confused and, like, somebody just told me that title, because I asked. I was like, "Oh, what episode is that?" And somebody said it was The Calling, and I was like, "Well, now I don't remember if it is or not, but whatever."
I thought that one was later on.
If we discover that it's a different one,
I think it might be season 6 or 7.
If we discover that it's a different one, we'll either do The Calling tomorrow or we'll find that one and watch it. But I'll post tomorrow, like, in the community tab, like, on YouTube, and, like,
what it'll be,
tell you what it'll be, like, before we do it. So there's that, because I'm not entirely sure that it's that one. I thought that it was, but I could very well be mistaken.
Yeah, they're in there too. Yeah, he's saying this is my house. Yeah, it might have been The Calling, but the thing is, they all sound the same.
That's what I mean. It's like, it's really, really difficult to know, because all of the names sound the same.
I have it.
Yeah, we have it, because we've seen it before. I just don't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
So if it's not that one, then we'll watch that one, and then I'll post post tomorrow, like, which one it is, like, in the morning. So everybody will know, and you'll have time to, like, watch it before we go on. All right, so That is, are we done?
Yeah,
are
yeah.
Done?
Okay. I don't have anything more to say about it.
All right. So remember to tune in tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our Haunting Mondays. We'll have a drink and talk about an episode of A Haunting. And so that should be really, really fun. Thanks, everybody, for dropping by, and have a good rest of your weekend. We'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.